Yes, I feel like cranking it up. I don't know if anyone can hear me out there with all this racket going on. Fizzy, are you out there somewhere in podcast land? I'm getting a bit noisy. I just feel like fiddling around with these controls, see? No, I pre-recorded that, I'm not going to lie. So, yeah, I've tried a few little DJ skills. That's with reverb. See, I'm just... Well, you've got to get off on something, haven't you? If you can't get off on watching Arsenal play, and because of the timing, obviously it's pretty difficult for people based in places other than UK to watch these games. So, but anyway, you've seen the game. So, what are your comments?
I saw the highlights. But I watched Match of the Day the morning after, and I suspected something was wrong. I suspected, but I wouldn't be happy with the result because the pundits, when before the highlights even started, they said, "Oh, you know, Leicester haven't won at Arsenal in 47 years." I went, "Oh God, here we go. I set this up to fail." And it really was a game of two halves, wasn't it? I think the first half, wrongly, got a goal disallowed. For me, Zaka wasn't interfering with play. And I felt a bit for the linesman, or the assistant referee, whatever you're supposed to call him these days. Because from his point of view, along the line, it did look like Zaka was impeding Schmeichel. But then when they switched it, and you saw from behind the goal, you could see that there was a couple of metres between Zaka and Schmeichel, and he wasn't interfering in the play. Like Schmeichel, he didn't prevent Schmeichel saving it. So that was unfortunate. I think that must have affected Lacazette a little bit, because for the rest of the half, he was sloppy. Mm. He missed a bit of, for me, a chance that he should be scoring, and just his on-the-play ball, I wasn't particularly impressed with. And I think Arsenal did dominate possession in that first half. We had 11 shots, but only one or two on target. So while we had the possession, we didn't really sort of test Schmeichel that much. And I think it's that problem that's going to be a problem for Arsenal this season is our lack of creativity in the final third. I have to say I was confused by a couple of the selections in the starting lineup. I was confused as to why Aubameyang was starting on the right wing.
Mm.
I was confused as to why Zaka was playing almost as a centre-half. He was like the third centre-half. He was on the left-hand side. And, obviously with Luis going off, Mustafi came on, and we can talk about that in a second. But it didn't seem to work. It's almost like a bit of a square peg, round holes sort of scenario.
A lot of people saying that.
From an attacking viewpoint, even though we did have lots of the ball, we weren't particularly incisive. We didn't create many shots. There were moments when we passed quite well, but it wasn't particularly great. And certainly, we play a very, very high line defensively. And in the first half, that was fine, because they had no one. Vardy wasn't on in the first half, and their target man, for want of a better word, was Morrison. And he wasn't playing off the shoulder, he was always coming deep. And so that kind of allowed Arsenal to have that high line to sort of dominate possession. But I got the feeling that, at half time, our missed chances would come back to haunt us, and it certainly did. Luis went off injured, and so in the second half, Luis went off injured. Our creative sort of outlet was, severely reduced.
Hmm.
We just weren't creating chances. Aside from Luis, I thought Saka, played all right. He was probably our most sort of creative player. And then Pepe comes on, didn't really impress much. Nketiah comes on, didn't really impress much. And if you talk about super subs having an impact, our subs came on, didn't really have an impact. And then you look at Vardy, the way that the Match of the Day pundits were talking about, like, this was a master plan by Rodgers. And perhaps it was, because when Vardy came on, instantly, the Arsenal defenders, Vardy plays off the shoulder, instantly, the Arsenal defenders backed off 20 yards. Mm. And so what gave players like Morrison the opportunity to run into space, that was used to be where the Arsenal line was, but it certainly wasn't anymore. And Yeah, and Luis comes off and Mustafi comes on. Now, Mustafi, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of him. Certainly, he has done well, reasonably well under Arteta. But he was exposed at least two times by Vardy.
Mm.
And you have to think, well, you say, well, you know, Mustafi hasn't played much. No, true, but neither's Vardy. And yet, you know, you wouldn't know that both of those players were coming off injuries. Well, you certainly wouldn't know that Vardy was coming off an injury. And because he plays on the shoulder, he pushes everyone back and for the goal. Xhaka is not a centre-half, so I can't be angry at him too much because he's not a centre-half. The ball got played behind him. So Gabriel covers, and then there's actually a point in the lead-up to the goal where Gabriel is shouting at Mustafi to drop because he's worried that Vardy's going to come in behind him. Mustafi ignores him, and as the ball sort of, you know, as the play continues, Mustafi is behind, or Vardy's ahead of Mustafi to knock it into an empty net. So I was frustrated by that because I think, you know, if Gabriel's going to be the centre of the three, then Mustafi needs to listen to him. And Mustafi switching off is just age-old Mustafi. So I was frustrated by that. And then 5 minutes later, the second, right at the end, Vardy slipped in again behind Mustafi. And Leno pulled off into half decent save. Right, he saved it with his head. But, you know, he saved it, so I can't sort of fault him. But yeah, so it was just, you know, that lack of super sub. That we had, that lack of creativity really sort of came back to bite us in the arse. And I have to admit, I'm not looking forward to United on Sunday because United have players that will tear us apart. They don't look like a very good team at the minute, but that doesn't mean that Arsenal, you know, have any chance of getting a result, really. So I'm a bit concerned.
Yeah, I'm not sure looking ahead to that game anymore either, but it's only because of a defeat and we shouldn't read too much into a sort of luck. It wasn't last minute, was it? 10 minutes before the end, Vardy scored. So I try to have a level head on these things. I know it's difficult because you feel emotional when your team loses, but at the same time, there is that bounce. You know. Well, the thing is, you're more likely to put in. I mean, I know it sounds ridiculous, but when you have a big disappointment, you're more likely to up your levels afterwards. The thing that worries me is how essential is David Luiz to the way that this Arsenal team is playing? Because I was in a way, you know, when you look at the lineup, as you say, it didn't look that promising when you got nothing against Mustafi, but he has been injured. And the thing is, what I would say on that, I'm not altogether sure about this, by the way, but has Vardy been out for as long as Mustafi? I don't think he has, but I didn't check this. So maybe he's a little bit fresher.
I don't know if it's as long.
Yeah.
I certainly think Vardy, that was the first game he played this season, wasn't it?
Oh, okay, yeah. So it's a while then. So, yeah, because I didn't realise he'd been out for very long. And, with Mustafi, he's been, probably a little bit longer. But, yeah, and he lacks confidence, whereas Vardy's full of confidence, right? So maybe that makes a difference too. Who knows? And also, Mustafi had been playing a bit longer on the pitch, quite a bit longer on the pitch, whereas Vardy, he's only got 10 minutes to run around like a blue-arsed you-know-what, you know? And
Mustafi came on, what, half an hour ago?
Was it?
It wasn't
that long.
It was definitely second half.
Yeah.
And so you could almost say, on the flip side, well, Mustafi's...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, true. Yeah, it can work that way as well. Because when you've only got 10 minutes, I mean, the only thing I've found, not that I've come on as sub very often, but when I've come on as sub in games, it's a lot easier, I think, to come on as a striker than it is to come on, say, you know, when a game's really tight and you come on as a midfielder, or I haven't really come on as a defender, but to come on as a striker, it's a lot easier because, you know, all you've got to do is just be a menace, really, and run around and hope you know, somebody crosses a ball, puts in a good pass for you, or you nick something off a defender and you can run him into the ground for 10 minutes. Whereas coming on in midfield, I remember a game I played and it was quite competitive level. It was in the sort of pyramid, as it were, in the UK, and I came on in this game and it was, we won it anyway, but it was so difficult. to come on when we were just winning by 1-0. It was just so tight in the middle of the midfield, and to come on without expecting to come on, because I was player manager at the time, so I did not want to be on the pitch. And I just remember how hard that was. And it was unexpectedly so, because I didn't think the players were that good, but it was just getting into the pace of it when you're not really ready to come on. But so I just felt, you know, having the experience coming on as a striker, I just thought that was so easy. But it may be because I was younger. I don't know what the reason was, but I when I came on as a striker, I just thought, well, if we were losing or drawing, there's no pressure on me at all. All I've got to do is. Yeah, and it just felt different.
I think part of the frustration comes from, you know, we couldn't shift the staff.
Yeah.
There's a few players in that team that Arteta almost has to rely on. And, you know, it's the same old, you know, I'm not surprised that Mustafi, you know, doesn't learn from his mistakes. He got beaten by Vardy for the goal.
Yeah,
you can kind of blame him a little bit, but the second time, like, he still hasn't learned. And it's like, Arteta doesn't help himself with some of his selection, some of his selection decisions. And he's like, there's almost that loyalty to the players. Like, Lacazette, you know, was poor. You know, even his touch was poor.
Mm.
And, you know, it seems from, you know, what the common consensus is, and I do agree with this to a certain extent, is... You know, we've sacrificed our attacking flair for defensive sort of solidity. And I think that is more evident. Yeah, like, we're not getting beat 4-5-0 by the best teams. But there has to be a balance, and certainly from an attacking standpoint. We're struggling. You know, we're not making as many chances, as we were last season. Yeah, and there is creativity issues at that team, and I think. It's certainly something that Arteta needs to solve. We're going to have games like this. Leicester are no mugs. And of course, if that goal had been allowed, a goal hadn't been disallowed, double negative there, then the game would have changed.
Yeah, Leicester totally.
Had to come out. So, I don't want to sort of blow things out of all proportion as well. And if that goal had gone in, and I think it was a valid goal, then on a different day we probably would have got a result. I honestly thought a draw was the fair result. You know, it was only when Vardy came on did Leicester look attacking at all. And that was the last 20 minutes. But, United will be the same. United will fast, quick counter-attacks. And so Arsenal will have to sort of adjust it. But if they don't take their chances... if you think about when we played City, we had two chances to score. We didn't take it. Aubameyang and Saka. Certainly Aubameyang was clear cut. This week, Lacazette had an open goal. It's a feast to cross it. But, maybe I've got a higher expectation. You'd expect it to be better than we did. So, if we're not taking our chances, and we're not creating many chances, and it's been very hard for us to sort of get positive results.
But just to put another excuse in the mix, what about the Europa League game? You know, the Europa League game must have taken it out of the players, because quite a lot of them played in that. Auba played, for example. Yeah.
But so did Leicester. Leicester played in that. Maybe they played at home. I don't know if they played.
Yeah.
But so did Leicester.
Yeah, that's the point, yeah. So I can't use that excuse then.
There aren't going to be sort of results this season that aren't good enough. Losing to Liverpool, Man City, okay, fine. And the performances weren't terrible for me. But Leicester is a game that we should be getting some points from. United's a big game. United's a massive game. I know we've had a bit of a tough start to the season. And there's a long way to go. There is a long way. But we don't want to be losing pace with the top four already. So, United's a big game. And I think certainly for other teams and for Arsenal as well, Arsenal need to get points in these games. So other teams are a bit more fearful of this. But it's a bit of a helter-skelter league. Like, we beat Sheffield United and West Ham. Sheffield United ran Liverpool very close. West Ham took points off Man City this week. So, it's... no team's playing particularly well, so it's not all panic stations yet, but I'd like to see Arsenal be a bit more sort of brave. You know, it's almost like Ben always used to say, they're playing for handbrake.
Oh, yeah.
Get that feeling of Arsenal. Arteta's Arsenal, we're playing for handbrake. But for me, one of the easy fixes is to put Aubameyang up top. Lacazette, you know, he's not looked great. Clearly, there's not much confidence in him. He didn't start against City. You know, we had that ridiculous false nine thing with Willian. I think, you know, take your best striker up top. I really do think that needs to be at least tried out. But, yeah, it was frustrating because I think Leicester are a team that, you know, we could beat and we should beat, perhaps. But, you know, like I said, if that goal had gone in after 10 minutes or whatever it was, The disallowed goal, Bellerin should have been sent off for 2 yards.
Oh, really?
He got booked early on, and in the second half, to first glance, it was. I thought the ref bottled it. Honestly, thought the ref bottled it. Now, the geezer, the Leicester player, did make a bit of theatrics over it. He played for it, but I was surprised. I thought he got away with one. And Leicester were like, couldn't believe it. We were a bit fortunate there. Now, obviously, it was 0-0 at that point, I think. So, but yeah, like, I am concerned that Arsenal back in ratings, I have to admit. I saw an interesting statistic, which was about Partey. Mm. He got the hump a little bit. He was moaning because Gabriel and I think Luis were playing more balls to Xhaka than him. And he was getting the hump a little bit. He wanted the ball more. And I think the players, for whatever reason, maybe it was a tactic or they were playing. Thomas Partey didn't receive the ball anywhere near as much from the centre-halves. As Jacques.
That's weird.
And he got the hump a little bit.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
You know, he's obviously coming to a team that, you know, potentially we can do great things, but the games he's played in, you know, he played 8 minutes against City. The boss game against
Rapid,
the Austrian team.
Yeah, he did really well.
Yeah, Rapid, yeah.
He was outstanding in that game. People said that's the best full debut they've ever seen. And it's very hard to argue with it, really. I mean, it's very hard to argue with how well Thomas Partey played in that game. So, yeah, I think you're back on air again now, hopefully. But, yeah. So, I was so impressed with him against Rapid.
So, yeah, he did play well, apparently.
And then Rapid are no mugs. They're not an easy team to play.
It's only when Rapid scored did Arsenal kick into gear.
Yeah, they came out of their shell after that. Yeah, it's true. They started to, I don't know, there was no real urgency in that game, I didn't feel. And obviously, it's been the case a lot of the time in any sort of league situation. And the only time, and obviously that's why Arsenal were looking like cup kings, is because when they did play in the FA Cup, they certainly didn't have the handbrake on then. And they were just, but I like this measured approach. I prefer. My instinct is to go for an Arteta setup as opposed to a Wenger setup any day. I mean, because I didn't like the way Wenger set up with this. Just go out, boys, and express yourself. And we let in five, we'll try to score six. Because often, the games were entertaining, but, you know, 7-5 against Reading.
Inherited George Graham back four, didn't he?
Yeah. So it worked all right for a while, but...
He never focused too much on defending. No. He didn't need to, because he had Adams, he had Keogh, he had Bold, he had Dixon, he had Winterburn.
Mm.
And so even in like the Invincibles, you still had the remnants of that. It was when all of those players left, and you had your Senderosses, and, you know, big players like that...
Stepanovs.
They didn't have people telling them how to defend. And they weren't looked after as well. They didn't have, you know, the cover that players like that needed. And that's why Arsenal, you know, one of the many reasons why I think Arsenal sort of got worse post, say, 2006, was because they didn't, you know, maybe they were focused too much on defence. It all, was all about attacking, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'd say, you know, let's be fair, Arteta has shored up the defence. We definitely look less...
less vulnerable, yeah.
Striking that balance, isn't it, really? But he does need to be a bit braver in games. Like, yeah, it was disappointing. Like, certainly the second half, even before Vardy came on, we were pants.
Yeah.
You know, we were rubbing. Lots of sideways passing. Nothing behind, you know. Leicester, they were organised. They wanted us to have possession because they knew they could hit us on the counter, when, especially when Vardy came on, they knew. And it was almost like they were... the way the pundits said it on Match of the Day was like they were biding their time until Vardy came on, and then they could sort of strike. So, and there might be an element of truth to that. I'm sure Rodgers always wanted to bring Vardy on once he knew he was fit. So I think the creativity is an issue. Obviously, the Ozil problem. You know, I'm amazed by... like, I like Rodgers. Like Rodgers said that he would have done the same thing about Ozil, and you know, it's funny, you get like, you know, you get some ex-players. You know, none of them are managers. All of them are pundits.
Yeah.
Saying, oh, well, you know, he's a creative player, blah blah blah. You know, and sometimes you need to treat your special players. You just kind of think, what Arsenal have you seen over the last 5 years, where you know Ozil was mollycoddled, and you know what good did it do?
You know, none at all.
This is a player that's got better stats with Giroud than he did with Aubameyang. Now, you know, if you're not telling, you can't tell me that he hasn't tailed off in the last couple of years, his focus hasn't been there the last couple of years. I don't know what Ozil you're watching. So, yeah, it's but we do have a creativity problem. And I think we still, you know, we've got to put up with something, you know, a staffy. If we're going to play, we're going to see, you know, dog performances every so often. Kolasinac is another one.
Yeah.
I don't want him anywhere near this point. But if we have to play, we can't be surprised that he plays shit. So, you know, it's a rebuild, isn't it? I was expecting a more positive result from Leicester. I think we just got smashing grab, really. That's how it feels like. It's a smashing grab.
Yeah, and that's why it's so upsetting, I think. That's the reason. But I still feel the team might bounce back from this disappointment. Particularly when it's, you know, the 1 point. I mean, actually, when you get one, you know, you get the draw, you don't feel, obviously, the level of disappointment is nowhere near a sort of more or less last minute defeat. I know it wasn't quite last minute. That's like rubbing salt in the wound. And I totally expect them to bounce back from it. I mean, if David Luiz plays as well, I'll feel a lot happier with the lineup than, you know, again, I'm not a big critic of Mustafi. It's just that, He's been out a while and he's probably lacking confidence. He's not used to playing with Gabriel. And then you've got Xhaka in the mix playing out of position. And a lot of people are saying this whole idea, you know, square pegs, round holes, and how many players can play slightly out of position before it starts to affect the whole entire team. So I don't know really what to make of that. I mean, I trust Arteta so much more than the previous manager and the manager before him and Wenger as well. So I believe he'll get it right, but it's the thing that's getting me. Obviously, I was hoping to see Saliba. You got any thoughts on that? I mean, what do you think's going on with him?
Obviously, we don't know what the development's like, but you know, there has to be a point where you go, you know, what's the difference between seeing Mustafi make the same mistakes every week, Xhaka playing the same mistakes every week, or seeing Saliba make mistakes? But Willock, let's see him make some mistakes. Because at least with Saliba and Willock, you've got, well, you know, bollocks to it, they're going to make mistakes. But Mustafi's mistakes, you know, what's the difference? At least with Saliba, we'll learn from it.
Yeah, yeah.
Benefit as a consequence. You know, it's the same as something like Willock. When are we going to see these young players? And that's why bit frustrated with Arteta a little bit because he doesn't seem to want to give youth too much of a chance. You know, I know he brought Enketia on, but why don't we give, you know, why don't we give Willem a go? Why don't we give, you know, Saliba a go? You know, like, why do we have to put up with the same, you know, Jack is not going to get any better. Yeah, and I feel for him because he was played out of position.
Yeah.
But, yeah, why are we playing Jack instead of a young centre-half? You know, it is frustrating. It is frustrating. Like, you know, we put Tierney, he's played left centre-half, and he's done very well, don't get me wrong, but he's a left-back. And I think it's just like, we've had to play around our sort of limitations. I think eventually there's got to be a point where Arteta picks a system, picks a formation, and he plays the best players in that formation. You know, I almost think that we're going to go to 4-4-2, or maybe 4 at the back and then 2-3-1. But I'm not sure. I'm not even sure.
Yeah, it's a hard call. I mean, because when you won the cup with the same players pretty much, and then you've added players to that cup winning team that beat along the way, they beat City, Chelsea, Liverpool. I mean, that's pretty impressive. Okay, it wasn't in the league, but these teams were playing their hearts out to try and, you know, not get knocked out at the very least. Obviously Chelsea were playing for the cup. So Arsenal were underdogs in all of those games. I think with the Leicester game, they weren't really underdogs because most people expected Arsenal to win it, right?
Yeah.
So suddenly, Arsenal are now underdogs again. So maybe it's going to suit them. As I said, against Man U, I think it's going to be a very different result, different performance. And I'm not just saying it because I'm blindly optimistic, because I think, as if you know me well enough, you'll know I'm generally not particularly optimistic. I am more optimistic after a disappointment like that, because I just think they're less likely to concede a goal. But I'll tell you one thing that's really winding me up, and I have to, sorry, dig out Ozil again, is him and his predictions are just doing my head in completely. I don't know how you feel about it, because he keeps on predicting. He says, oh, you know, I want to support my team, we're going to win 2-1. That's what he said, or 3-1 or something, and it's always one. The other team always gets a goal, and it's winding me up. I mean, yeah. You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking, has he got a problem with one of the defenders or Leno? Is he just trying to make a little dig? Because if I were the goalkeeper, I would not be happy with that.
Arteta could arguably say, he's improved the defence.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I don't think it's Ozil's place to say it.
Do you think it's innocent? Or am I reading too much between the lines? Is it just innocent, these predictions? Yeah.
Like, this is a player, remember, this is a player that our paid dinosaurs in Rex.
Oh, yeah.
When he got that. So, yeah, I think you could probably say Ozil and his team are very media savvy.
Yeah, I think so. Or unsavvy at times.
Whether it's sort of what his intent is, I'm not sure.
Mm.
But I'm sure he's aware of what he's doing with it. I would think, I'd be very surprised if it's, yeah, don't get me wrong, you know, footballers generally aren't the sharpest eyes in the world. But he's a 32-year-old footballer, so he's not a young kid.
Yeah.
He's doing this in the confines of his own home. You know, and obviously his mindset, you know, he wants to get involved. And he's got a massive fan base as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, yeah, if you go on Arsenal.com, yeah, obviously we're a global club and, you know, all around the world. And he has a huge following, especially amongst like African fans, and I think obviously the Muslim connection I think is there. He has a huge following, and there's so many fans I read on Arsenal.com that are like, "Oh yeah, you're great. I can't believe you're Arteta out, blah blah blah." So they choose him over Arteta, and it, you know, it drives me up the wall. I'm like, "Hang on, have you been watching the same football that I've been watching?" You know?
Yes, blind loyalty.
But I think obviously he has to play up to that, you know, for money and, you know, for, you know, not infamy, but, you know, like he obviously has to keep himself in the public eye. So I think there's an element of that to it as well. Like, he's trying to keep himself in the public eye, and by, you know, by tweeting about Arsenal, it's going to get people talking about it.
And what do you think about the stuff his agent came out with about Arteta? I discussed it by myself. I had a little conversation with myself. I was so wound up about it, but I just wanted to get somebody else's view on how outrageous was it, the stuff he said. Yeah, it was just, he basically was saying Arteta's a liar, and he's not been fair, to Ozil, not giving him a fair chance, and that he's been left out for reasons other than football. And basically saying Arteta is not telling us everything. But I think I'm not 100% sure, but I thought he used the word liar. It was pretty strongly worded. I haven't got the article in front of me now, but I was doing my pieces over that.
Issues going on that we don't know about. I do think football is a big factor. Some of the things I've been reading was like during the lockdown, he didn't turn up to Zoom calls with the team. He didn't do his lockdown homework. So his attitude kind of tailed off. Certainly his attitude in the last year or so, he had problems with Emery. Even Freddie knew he was a pain in the arse. And because I think he'd always been mollycoddled under Wenger, Ramsey said on Soccer Air, Ozil gets special treatment.
Oh, yeah.
He wasn't slagging him off. He wasn't doing any critical analysis. He just said that Ozil gets days off from training. And so, Emery tried to put his foot down and then collapse and then put it back.
Yeah.
He knew he was a bit of a sort of a trouble starter. And so I said, I think his attitude is a huge factor. I saw something about the whole China, I can't pronounce the word, Ugamas, the situation with China's quite horrific human rights issues, and they're detaining all these Chinese Muslims. And Ozil commented on that and said this is terrible. And Arsenal didn't really back him, and then since then, China has taken serious issue with Ozil and the Premier League because of those comments. And I've seen reports saying that's why he's banned. Now, I don't take that to be true, because Ozil played 5 or 6 games after he made those comments.
Yes, that's true.
So I don't think that's it.
I think
the makeup thing, where his name was the only name to be sort of released or leaked by the club. And there were other players supposedly that took issue with it, but they didn't get an issue. I said this before, I think that was naughty by the club. And so I think that's a factor into it as well. But I do think his attitude sticks. This is a man that's addicted to Fortnite. This is a man that plays on average 5 hours a day of a computer game. So, he's not an athlete that's, with all these back injuries and all these various problems. So, he's got his side of view, and I think it'd be interesting to see his point of view. And the club are never going to fully release everything that's happened either. But I do think that his attitude, you can see it. You don't have to be a sort of, a tactical genius to see what Ozil brings to the table and what he doesn't bring to the table.
That is the issue, the lack of work rate. I can't bear it.
Refused to adapt to our test of way, and then he expected to be given the red carpet treatment and wasn't. And I think the club had just had enough of it, So I think football's the main reason. I think Arteta, for whatever reason, isn't saying anything, but he has said in the press the club has moved on in terms of the style and the way that we play. And unless Ozil pulls his finger out, unless Ozil shows an attitude change, then ultimately Arteta's the boss. It's his decision.
He does seem in a comfort zone to me, Ozil, and he has been for a long time. And I've always felt, his agent, just that was the thing I was going to say. His agent said, if you ask any of the players, they'll say the best trainer in the club is Ozil. I found that really hard to believe. But even if he is, because I'm not present at training, so I don't know. Even if he is the best trainer, he is not the hardest working player on the pitch by a country mile. In fact, he's I don't like using this word, but he comes across as lazy. And I know some people say he's economical with his energy, whatever you want to call it. He doesn't really put the work in. When he tracks back, it's so half-hearted. It's token. It's a token track back. So even when he covers ground, he doesn't cover the ground the way you want him to. If I were the coach, as great as Ozil is with the ball at his feet, he's awful without it. Even Paul Merson said it. And Paul Merson has been backing Ozil quite a lot. certainly lately. But even Merson said he's the worst player in the world without the ball. And I think that's about right. He's, well, maybe that's a bit too extreme, but, you know, he's... Well, he doesn't defend. He just doesn't defend at all. Yeah.
Salah, Mane, Firmino, they all work like absolute dogs off the ball. Now, are you telling me you would have any of those, you'd have Ozil over any of those three players? I would have any one of those three Liverpool players.
Of course, yeah.
Not just because of what they do off the ball, but because of what they do on the ball.
Hmm.
Absolutely. The only one that's off the bay maybe is Firmino. But you said to me, Mane or Ozil, or Salah or Ozil, without doubt, Mane or Salah. Without absolute, no shadow of doubt. And that's what they do on the ball. And then when you see what they do off the ball, it's an easy choice. So, you know, this is, like I said, Ozil stats on the ball.
They're not that good lately, are they?
That's been great. You know, Andy Carroll got more assists than he did last season in the games that Ozil played. So, yeah, this idea that Ozil... Yeah, I think he was one of our highest creators, but he was one of our highest creators in a fucking awful team, in a team that got eighth. So, yeah, that's not exactly a great stat. So, no, I think on the bubble, he's waned. Off the ball, he's always been terrible. And I think now in a team that Arteta requires everyone to put effort in, this team bonding, this team unity, it just doesn't fly anymore. This is what I've said about some of the Arsenal fans. They're like, what games have you been watching? Like, Ozil 4 years ago, was the best team last year regularly. You know, he wasn't doing it. He just wasn't doing it. So this idea that we're going to miss him, you know, we do miss his creativity, but nobody has managed to get Ozil playing consistently. Even Wenger. Never got Ozil playing consistently.
And in situations where it's really tight, he doesn't always open up the defence. It's the games where, you know, he starts off games quite well usually. I don't think he's particularly fit, you know, which isn't surprising given what we hear about his lifestyle, whether it be true or not. It's not surprising maybe he struggles to track back. But if he's struggling to track back, then he's struggling to open up other teams as well because... Yeah, he's pretty quick, Ozil. I am a fan of the fact that he's a quick player. Yeah, he's pretty quick. I mean, there's not many players quicker than him. Obviously, Arsenal got a couple. Bellerin, I don't know about since his injury, but Alba obviously is quicker than Ozil. But who else? And I do miss. El Pepe is quicker as well, but probably. So there are a few players. But he's right up there in the speed stakes. So I do like that about Ozil. But what I don't like is everything else in this media circus that's going on. And obviously, we're chatting about it. But how do you avoid chatting about it when he's forever posting little cryptic notes that are not that cryptic? I'm so wound up about this whole situation, I have to say. I
wouldn't... It's felt like, after the obvious, we are lacking creativity.
Yeah.
And I would rather us, I have to admit, it's almost cut your nose off to spite your face, but I'd rather us not play him and try and find other solutions. Because he's going to leave at the end of the year anyway.
Yeah. It's for sure now.
Definitely not going to offer him a new contract. And if he wants to sit it out, fine. I think it's just a blackout that will have to hang over that club. And it's unfortunate for Arteta, but he'll just have to survive. And, you know, with the money that we get from some of the players that we hopefully ship on this year, we can start continuing to sort of develop.
Yeah, it's a rebuild job.
But yeah, it's like when people say he's the best trainer, well, I find that hard to believe.
Me too.
Because if he was the best trainer, then why is he not playing?
Yeah.
Why is he not doing what, Xhaka certainly pulled his finger out and he started performing well in games, but you know he worked hard. Right.
Yeah, I think so.
He took on board what Arteta said and sort of acted on it. If Ozil's that good at training, then he's not clicking, well, why is he not starting? You know, so, yeah, you can follow up the idea that, well, you know, it's for other reasons. I don't buy it.
No.
I just don't buy it. You know, Arsenal are shedding out lots of money for a wage. You know, and I know they're trying to cancel it, but if you want him in your team, you want those who are going to be part of the new team. You know, you've got these kids, and that's, that kind of goes back to why, you know, so we've got, was it Dundalk, some Irish team?
Oh, yeah.
On Thursday, over the Euro Pub League. I hope you put loads of kids out. I honestly do. Like, drop Lacazette, just completely get, you know, put a few back, put the kids out.
Might as well.
Let Emil Smith-Rowe play, let Willem play, let Nelson play, you know, let, I know Saliba can't play, but, you know, really, sort of, let's try the youth. Like, because I'm just frustrated of seeing Mustafi again. See, you know, I can tolerate Xhaka, and I know we're never going to get rid of him. Yeah, and we signed him on a 5-year deal.
Oh, wow.
But we don't need to have him playing in the big games if we can avoid it. He should be a squad player. I'd be happy with him as well. Hopefully we'll see a good, I don't mind if you don't see a great performance against his Irish team. Like, I want to see a performance against United.
Yeah, that's the key.
I watched that United-Chelsea game. It was all right. United didn't look great. Chelsea didn't look great.
It's possible.
Lampard's under pressure. Because he's spent all that money and he's trying to make them work. And, you know, I feel a bit for Abraham and Mason Mount. Because, you know, they boys did quite well last year. They got Fat Frank into the Champions League. And then he bins them off Werner and that Kai Havertz. And obviously they're going to take time to sort of settle. Before I was Abraham and Mason Mount, I'd be well pissed off. And United, I think they're absolute dogs here. But they're not, negatively speaking, so, you know, I'm not confident. And I think, you know, it's a big game or something. It's a big game.
Yeah, it's certainly a big game. And what about Auba's so-called goal drought? Because somebody said to me the other day, oh, Auba's not scored. I said, yes, he has. He scored against Rapid. They said, yeah, that don't count. That's Europa League. I said, they all count, mate. They all count. Every competitive game. I said, it's not a goal drought. I'm not having it. Okay, he's not scored many in the league. But then Lacazette has scored quite a few in the league. But then he's had one chalked off that sounds like it should have been a goal. I just feel like the whole world's against Arsenal at the moment, so that's why I'm confident.
It's Fulham. Okay, it's the first game of the season.
So he's not scored in the Premier League for a while. Although it's not really. They talk about it in terms of weeks, but they don't really make any adjustments based on international breaks and that kind of thing. So I can't remember the last stat I think I heard. He's not scored in the league for 6 weeks, and that doesn't sound that good. But then when you think how many games, it's not that many games. Yeah, and he's contributed to the team. Okay. Because somebody said to me, and it wound me up, this is why I'm so wound up probably, somebody said to me, oh, you've made the Ozil mistake again, your team, because what you've done is put him on a bumper wage. And he's not producing. I said, no, that's where you're wrong, because he is producing, but he might not be scoring goals, but he's still putting the effort in, and everyone can see that, and no one's on his back. Whereas with Ozil, more or less, I wouldn't say right after he signed the contract, but his average level of performance dropped by such an enormous amount when Ozil signed that new deal. It was noticeable. With Auba, the effort level is not dropped, in my opinion. I think it's, if anything, I'd say it's gone up. It's certainly not dropped. He seems happier, seems more settled. The goals will come. Yeah. So I've got total faith in Auba. I've actually, I'd even stick with Lacazette. I know that sort of goes against grain a little with some, maybe you as well. But I'd stick with Lacazette for now. Although Eddie's done pretty well, hasn't he, when he's played. So he's making it a hard choice for Arteta. For this next game, I just wanted to ask you one other question before we sort of knock it on the head. Sorry, going back to Ozil. It's just not, I can't get off it. I just wanted to ask you, what would you advise Ozil if you were his agent? Say there were a number of clubs coming in for him, because I've got a thought in mind.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to happen, though. I hope not. But where would you suggest that Ozil goes next if you were his agent? Bearing in mind, the agent doesn't seem to have the best of relationships with Arsenal. Oh, what I would say as well on that note is Kia Jurabchian, obviously another agent strongly associated with Arsenal, he said if Ozil's agent was so good, he would have got him out on loan somewhere playing football rather than sitting there doing nothing.
Yeah.
So that's why I like Jurabchian. I think he tells it like it is.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
I think Ozil's agent primarily cares about making money, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So I would imagine you say to Ozil, go to somewhere that's paying you the most amount of money. Because I think you can safely say Ozil doesn't care about asked about playing football.
Yeah.
This is a player that clubs did come into. Ozil refused to take a wage cut, even before Arsenal. Arsenal tried to do offers, I think, where they would pay part of the contract and have the clubs pay the other half. He didn't want it. Ozil, for me, seems completely, he's 32. He wants one last pay deal.
Yeah.
Like, he's retired from international football. He's not asked. He's phoning it in. So I reckon he'll go to somewhere. I wouldn't be surprised if he goes to another London club.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. And you know which London club I thought, but then I thought, no, it's not going to happen. Well, how would you feel if he went to Spurs?
He wouldn't go to Spurs.
Not with Mourinho there.
I don't think he would suit Mourinho. He's worked with Mourinho.
Yeah. Mourinho called him a coward. But that doesn't mean they haven't made up. I think they've made up since, so it's not impossible. But I've got a very strong feeling that he's going to go to Spurs. The reason is he won't have to relocate, and he seems pretty settled where he is.
He likes London.
Yeah, and especially North London.
It would be the perfect debut.
And they've got such a huge Turkish following as well. Spurs. I mean, Arsenal got a reasonably large Turkish following. I don't know if that makes any difference to him, but I can totally see him going to Spurs. I think that's where he's going next. It's just a feeling I've got, and I hope I'm wrong, and I just think that'll just, I don't know. I don't know how other Arsenal fans gonna take that.
Do you think, how long would he do the business? How long would Mourinho tolerate him not putting the effort
in? Yeah, that's very true.
Always do with Ozil. He'll put the effort into a few games, and then he'll
fizzle out.
Go back to his old lady self of not being asked.
But when you think of all, there's been quite a few Arsenal players that are, quite, flash and ended up at Spurs. Who is it? Adebayor, Bentley, those two. I didn't really like. I liked Adebayor a little bit as a player, but Bentner's been slamming him. Have you seen some of the stuff Nicholas Bentner's been saying about Adebayor? He's sort of said. Yeah. He said I liked everybody at the club except Adebayor. He said they just clashed all the time. They actually clashed on the pitch in one game, and I think it could have been against Spurs, even. I don't remember which game it was, but they were at loggerheads. Should we do a prediction for the Man U game? So let's do an Ozil, shall we? Predict the Man U game, and then I'll play us out. So what are we saying?
Okay.
All right, I'll play some music.
A very, very hopeful 1-1 draw.
Hang on. Sorry. I've not used this equipment yet. What did you say the score was going to be again? 1-1?
Yeah, 1-1.
I'm saying, no, I don't want to put a 2-1 score down because that's for Ozil. That's not for me. So I'm going to say, Arsenal going to win it. Yeah, I'm not going to go crazy. I'll say 1-0. 1-0 to the Arsenal. Yeah, it's got a ring to it. I think I could live with that scoreline. And even the symbol agreed. Did you hear that? Yeah. But this is not the remix. You heard the remix earlier. This is just the plain old. So, plain old Arsenal, we're proud to say that name.